Today's reading begins in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 14. Acts 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, that I may make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel know, therefore, for certain, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are afar off, every one whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness, and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as John did, and said, Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up he stood, and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So yesterday we had begun the book of Acts, and we had gotten as far as them receiving the Holy Spirit. They had chosen a 12th apostle. Or rather, the Lord had chosen a 12th apostle. And the wind, the sound that was heard when they received the Holy Spirit, got the attention of many people. Apparently, it was something that was not just heard in the room that they were in, but in many places. And a crowd gathered together to see what was happening. And the question was asked, what does this mean? And some were even mocking them, saying they are filled with new wine. And so Peter gave his first sermon here on the day of Pentecost. He lets them know that, first of all, they're not drunk, which never really made sense to me anyway. Not only is it the morning, but it's also just not typical behavior. And you certainly wouldn't have somebody drunk that was suddenly able to speak in such a way that you heard them in your native tongue. So none of those things made sense. But then again, when people mock others, it doesn't tend to make sense. It's meant just to cast derision and get others to not pay attention to them. So Peter points out that there are prophecies that pointed to this day, prophecies that pointed to the day of the Lord, a good day that would happen, and that all these things would come to pass. And then he begins to tell them of Jesus of Nazareth, a man that had walked among them, had spoken to them, and had done many mighty works and many mighty wonders in their presence. And that was God attesting that that was his son, that was the Messiah, that was the fulfillment of prophecy. And he tells them, you know these things. And then he says, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed. And then he says, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And he quotes again more prophecy, this time from the pen of David. And so he says, David died and he was buried. You can go see his tomb. He was a prophet, and he knew what God had planned to some degree. We don't know if he knew all of the fruition of the plan, but he was given the knowledge to prophesy of these things, and that the fulfillment of all of it is Jesus, whom God raised up, whom they witnessed as being raised, and he's been exalted at the right hand of God. And the pinnacle of his lesson is, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And there is at least a portion of the crowd that understands the lesson and believes the lesson, believes that it's true, because they ask that question, what shall we do? Yes, they were pricked in their heart, but they were pricked in their heart because they believed what he said. They believed Jesus was the Christ, and they understood that they had called for his crucifixion. But Peter tells them there is hope because this very Jesus whom you called for his crucifixion died, and here is what you can do. You can repent, you can be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what you can do. And so they do, initially about 3,000 souls. And they begin to spend time together, learning more together, taking every opportunity to grow in their relationship with Christ. And the result was that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And then in chapter 3, we saw a man that was lame from birth. In other words, he's never been able to walk, and people know that he's never been able to walk. He's completely dependent on others, even to bring him to a point in which he can ask for alms so that he can have food to eat. And he asks Peter and John for alms like he does everybody else. But Peter says, I don't have any silver and gold, but I can do this. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Not by the power of Peter and not by the power of John, but by the power of God. In the name of means by the power and by the authority of Jesus Christ. And the result is he's strong. He jumps right up. Remember, this man has never walked. He never learned to walk. He was lame from birth. And he's walking, leaping, praising God. What an incredible day for that man. And everyone recognized that he was the guy that was sitting by the gate. so everyone was filled with wonder and amazement. That concludes our reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.